Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome to the show. My name's Kate Delaney. Thanks for joining us. Whether you're joining us here in the United States or outside our borders, thanks to all the people in the UK who listen, and Australia, Wales, and so many other fabulous places, too. And congratulations to the UK. They do it first. It began the nationwide coronavirus immunization, largest in their history. Margaret Keenan, a grandma of four, made some big, juicy history after getting a potentially life-saving birthday present, as they say. First jab, then she'll get a second jab because it's two doses. She turns 91 next week. So how about that? Second to Maggie was a guy named William Shakespeare. You cannot make that up. Seriously. He got the... He got the immunization, and he was asked about it, and he said, well, it's what you have to do, and so there you go. So first one's out of the gate. We'll see what happens. And in the meantime, in the United States, we have the deadliest week ever. The United States just recorded highest weekly COVID-19 totals. Seven-day average of 2,249 deaths last week, breaking the week before was set 232, you get the idea. There's been more than 283,000 coronavirus deaths in the U.S. as of Tuesday morning, and then throw in a couple hundred more. And in addition, we've got 200,000 cases a day and more than 15 million cases in total. I've told this story before, but I have a friend whose husband was healthy, got the virus, did not survive. This was a guy who was a principal in Alvin, Texas, outside of Houston, Leroy Castro, and was just a beloved principal. And they, in fact, are going to name a junior high after him. They voted to do that. I guess they're going to do it in 2023, but it certainly doesn't... bring back the person, and I know they are absolutely crushed, and my heart breaks for Amy and her daughter and for everybody that's going through that, because it's unexpected. This is what I keep saying about it. I mean, this virus is an SOB. It's not, here's what can happen. Yes, we know what can happen, but it's what's shocking is people who you think are okay, that they're going to avoid this. It's not going to happen to them. And they don't survive. It's like NBA star Carl Anthony Towns, and he says he's lost seven family members to COVID-19. Seven family members. Wow. You know, this is a Minnesota T-Wolves star, if you don't know who he is. NBA player, and his mother died from complications from COVID in the beginning in April, and then six other family members have died. So you can only imagine. He gets these calls. Cousin died, or this person died. Wow, I mean, wow. So seeing what happened in the United States, that we're closer and closer. You know, think about this. There should be no more arguments about the whole masking up thing. Because if it's going to help, if there's a chance it can fend off you or someone you care about from falling down dead from COVID-19, I mean, for God's sake, just way, way beyond this. I really... As somebody who is an entrepreneur, I get the whole business thing. I have friends that are crushed economically because of that, too. So I have it all the way around me, and I've seen this, and I've heard from many of you who have seen it. And if we don't treat this seriously in these next couple of months, and then while the doses are going out, then it's all to our demise that we just let this happen. I feel confident that as Americans we'll pull together, and I'm seeing that more and more people are coming together. There is the debate about making the vaccine mandatory. Should it be made mandatory? New York legislation could make it mandatory for them. Who knows what the votes will be like for that. I know that they're introducing a bill that will require it to safely and effectively distribute the FDA-approved vaccine and in accordance with the Department of Health, and you're going to hear that kind of legalese and I think pretty much anywhere. But making it mandatory is a whole different game. And so on this show, because I'm convinced more people will take it if they know it's safe than not, we're doing an unofficial poll until Friday to see what you say. So yay or nay on the vaccine. You can send me your thoughts at kate@katedelaneyradio.com and let me know where you fall on that. I mean, because there have been people that have said that they're not going to do it. People keep talking about this herd immunity. And herd immunity is a term that describes when enough people have protection, either from infection or vaccination. And they're saying at the CDC now that it's unlikely that we would see that. So we'll see. There may be a push for more states to make it mandatory. And those would be, that would be individual states. So we'll see if New York leads the way with that or not. Governor Cuomo is saying that the first batches of doses of Pfizer's vax will go to nursing homes for residents and staff next week. Then the batches of vaccine doses from Moderna will arrive. And then, they'll be able to distribute more of the vaccine. And it's pretty much going to the people we thought it would go to, the people that are at the hospitals, the people that are at the nursing homes, the people that work there. So there is a big push to promote vaccination and to ensure that a high enough percentage of the population is vaccinated against COVID-19 to develop some kind of sufficient immunity, right? Because if there is the overall herd immunity, which ultimately we're nowhere near that, but if we are getting enough people sufficient immunity, at least to that step, then it ultimately would stop the spread of the disease. So that is the goal for the doctors anyway, and those that are looking at it from that point of view, certainly. You absolutely had opinions on this and so many other things, including what would happen to President Trump, and a couple of you thinking of his future, what he'll do and will he run again. So we're going to go to the mailbag coming up next.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged, in a sense, against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
This is sponsored by the Salvation Army. During the holiday season, millions rely on the Salvation Army for help and hope amidst the pandemic, and the need is at an all-time high. However, the Salvation Army could see as much as a 50% decrease in funds raised by the iconic Red Kettles this year due to COVID-19, putting at risk their ability to provide shelter for the homeless, meals for the hungry, Christmas toys for children, and social service programs to our neighbors in need. All donations stay within the community in which they are given. Commissioner Kenneth Hodder, National Commander, the Salvation Army.
This year, we've seen what can only be described as a tsunami of need. In the history of our organization, we've never served this many for this long. It will take all of us coming together in order to help millions of others in need this holiday season.
For more information, please visit rescuechristmas.org.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Let's get in the mail bag. Get in the mail bag.
Yeah, it feels like that most days, doesn't it? Oh, the bubble that we're living in. So here we are. Many of you, thank you for sending me your thoughts. You can do it 24/7, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. This one from Jake, the O Ever Faithful in Austin, who says, Kate, I listened to you talk about the whole tree thing. It made me decide I was going to get a real tree for the first time in my life. I'm glad I did, although I had to really wrestle with it. That whole needles thing, I don't think I'm going to like in the end, but staring at it is changing my mind on some of what I'm thinking about. I have to tell you that before, and I think I've said this, I was not a big fan of the whole masking up, and then I saw that some of my friends got sick, and I realized, yeah, it is about social distancing and masking, so we are all doing that and feel a lot better about it for what it's worth, even though we're more of the healthy, supposedly healthy generation. Did you see the story about the nurse who talked about breaking the rules and did a little TikTok and lost her job? I don't understand why people think they have an invisible shield around them when it comes to social media. What do you think? You nailed it. Once you put it out there, we live in the world of there is no, oh, nobody knew I did that. When you put it out and you brag about it, of course they're going to see it. So this was an oncologist nurse in Oregon who was talking about, she was bragging, she was wearing scrubs and a stethoscope around her neck. And she was pretending to scream with a caption that said, "When my coworkers find out I still travel, don't wear a mask when I'm out, and let my kids have play dates." So they saw Ashley Grams is her name. They saw the TikTok. Someone saw it. They put her on administrative leave after the video. It was posted November 27th. It went viral, of course, and it was taken down, but it continues to circulate. And that was it. And the video shows, and what people said was it shows the callousness of and disregard and just indifference toward physical distancing and masking outside of work. So, you know, boom, bang, boom. That's it. She's gone. Whether she was fired, was asked to leave, whatever the deal is, but she's done. And it's interesting because that hospital, the Salem Health Network, basically, they have 47 staff members quarantined, 176 employees out of approximately 5,200 have tested positive for COVID-19, so they take it seriously. So there's a problem there. That was one of our first problems for, you know, doing that. All right, then I got this one from Joe. Yo, Kate, what's up with the dodo brains who think they can go out to nightclubs, dance the night away, throw down some shots? Wouldn't we all like to do that? And think that they're not going to be a super spreader. Did you see the dealio about Columbus, Ohio? I did see the dealio. This nightclub was shut down. They're accused of health violations, of course. There's about 500 people that went to a concert that was headlined by R&B singer Trey Songz over the weekend. And the plainclothes officers went and found, you know, large numbers of non-socially distancing and maskless people on the dance floor and the stage. They, you know, people were sharing alcoholic beverages from the same bottles, all that. They weren't doing any of, you know, not every person in the whole place, but most of the people, the majority, were not doing any of it. None. So the picture circulated and the rest is history. Can't do it. We would all love to do that, right? Go back to the way it was. But, you know, here's the thing. The health officials are saying that there's such a backlog of tests and positive cases and all of that, and they're seeing an upward trend in positivity rates. They can't, you know, this is too soon. They're looking at this as what kind of a tracer event will it be? Well, you know, will it be a super spreader event? And then they're tracking it all down, and it's all coming back to the same place, or, you know, what? All right, let's move on to this one. This one is from Brian B., and he says, Kate, you know, I can't tell you I'm happy with the election results. I'm not a huge Trump fan. I voted for him twice because I just can't go the way of the Democrats and some of the nonsense I'm hearing. But now we're seeing that there's so much crazy pouring out of the White House, pouring out of Congress. It seems like it's pouring out of every orifice that's in Washington, D.C. So you look at the president and the challenges to the election, and I think at some point you throw up the white flag. And I do believe, after what I heard you talking about and other things that I've heard too, that the president will run again in 4 years, and he's getting an insane amount of money from supporters, and it may be that he actually gets reelected, which would be so crazy to see that he is forced to step away, and then he comes back, and then age would have nothing to do with it, of course. Either, but I think there will be people that would support that. It's kind of that wait and see approach. Well, that's it. I mean, my crystal ball says ask again later. And what will he do in between? Because I got this one from Helen, who says, what's the prez going to do now that he's booted from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Will he still have influence? I think he absolutely will, because you can even see that as many people from the Republican Party are distancing themselves from him, there's many that are embracing him, enough are embracing him. And he's got the massive Twitter followers. He's got people backing him. There is, that's fans, that's raving fans. And what do you do with that? I think he ends up doing something with the network, his own network. And as that grows and grows and grows, which I'm assuming it would, then I think that it's a layup for him to run. He's already done it. If his health is fine, then I think absolutely wouldn't be shocking to see that. Because where will we be as a nation? What will be the soft points that he could go after, right? I mean, that's it. And so I think it wouldn't be shocking to see it. All right, so let's move on to this one. This one is from Dan the Man. And Dan the Man says, hi, Kate. I'm watching all these crazy things that are happening, including what's gone on with this former Florida COVID data scientist and what's happened to her, how the SWAT team swooped down on her family. Just horrific what you see happen to them. And I think the warning is more people in her position could find themselves in that situation. Yeah, her house was raided by the cops, I think that's what you're talking about, on Monday of this week, and she said she wasn't worried about the legal ramifications she's facing, but, you know, she's worried that the damaging information on the coronavirus response in Florida, all of that was, should have been at the forefront. Instead, she leaked it out there, and she said she couldn't live with it, with herself without that, but she's worried about the damage to the people who never got that. So Rebecca Jones is her name. She was fired after accusing Governor Ron DeSantis's administration of minimizing the pandemic and skewing state data. She denies sending the message, but she told, I want to say CNN or one of them, that she thinks the computers and phones that state police seized from her Tallahassee home could expose her sources in some kind of retaliation. And she, again, was fired from the state health department in May. She said she was terminated for refusing to manipulate coronavirus data. But state officials say she was insubordinate and didn't consult with the epidemiologists, experts. So, you know, she's after DeSantis, and they're after her, although they say they're not after her. It's not about that. That when they raided her house, by the way, they took a bunch of flash drives. So she wasn't arrested or criminally charged, and, you know, she had documents that she had legally accessed when she was a state employee. So let's watch the bouncing ball on that one. Hang with us.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The White House sent a new coronavirus stimulus proposal to House Democrats Tuesday as negotiations between congressional leaders continue. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin delivered the $916 billion proposal, which is larger than the $908 billion framework offered up by a bipartisan group of lawmakers earlier this week. It also contains a $600 direct payment, something that more Republicans are supporting. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley is one, and he tells News Nation that many Americans are still struggling, even if they're still able to work.
I've talked to the president about this issue multiple times now in the last few days, and I can say with a great deal of confidence that I believe he supports direct payments. So you've got a lot of working people who have jobs, but their hours are reduced. They've taken pay cuts, but they've got kids at home because of COVID distance learning. Those folks need relief, and I think that ought to be the centerpiece of any COVID relief effort.
This is USA Radio News. Texas's attorney general filed suit Tuesday against four other states in an attempt to stop their electors from voting in the Electoral College. The suit names Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, claiming the changes made by those states to their laws surrounding mail-in voting violated federal law. Ken Paxton contends that these changes allowed voter fraud to occur. He's asking the Supreme Court to push back the deadline for states to appoint electors to allow further fraud investigations. Paxton says he filed the suit to protect the integrity of the electoral system. He tells Fox News that if some state legislatures are unwilling to oversee their elections, there are those willing to step in.
It's really important to my state that my voters be represented. And if other states don't follow the Constitution, and if their state legislature isn't responsible for overseeing their elections, and we have other people who are not under the Constitution supposed to be doing this, it affects my state.
This is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Right now, and he is part of our author's corner. And let me tell you, when you have a book where you can meld your personal experiences and then turn it into something magical for children, well, that's a home run in my book. And his book is Sally and the Magic River. Frank, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, no, thank you. I mean, this is wonderful. I've been looking forward to this.
You and I had a great conversation off the air talking about what was it that made you write this book, and how did you come up with the idea? Because it's about the imagination. How do you write a book like this? And you had a great story about pulling this together. Tell the listeners about that, how you came up
with this. I'd love to do that. And I'm so happy that we're doing this, because it's got me thinking, well, why in the heck did I write this book? It's the only fiction that I've ever written. And it came out of me. It just flowed out of me. There was no outline. What happened was is that in 1997, my wife and I took a canoe trip down the Colorado River. So there's a canoe in the book. Anyway, we went down this river with two other couples in their canoes. And it was just a magical experience with all sorts of animals we ran into. And it inspired my wife to try to write a little story about an Indian girl called Linda. And the reason it was called Linda is because we arrived at that river just as this major hurricane whisked by California. It was the largest hurricane ever to hit the West Coast at that time. But it just grazed it, but it left us plenty of rain and cooled us off because it was 110 degrees otherwise. In Yuma, Arizona, is just crazy at that time of year in September. So there we are. She's been inspired. She's written this little story, started, and she gets stuck. And she says, oh, Frank, could you help me out? And I said, sure, I'd be happy to help you out. And so I go and I help her out with this wonderful little bridging paragraph. And she gives it back to me and says, no, I don't want to do this. It doesn't work. And so I took it, wow, this is a great thing I've written here. So I took it to work, and I just sat down at the typewriter, at the computer, and started letting my fingers run over the keys. And all of a sudden, this book started forming, and it that little paragraph occurs right in the very middle of the book. And since you have called and talked to me about this, I've been thinking, well, what is this thing? It's really an allegory. It's a broader story about life, I think. My life, other people's lives. And I think it really is good for kids. There's nothing in it that wouldn't be. I think they'd really like it.
And you talk about, let me interrupt you for a second. You talk about it being an allegory for life and some of the parallels even of movies that we've seen in the past, like Peter Pan or The Wild River or Gravity. So really, it's interesting what you're describing. So go deeper on that for us, because I've got these images in my head.
Well, so here's one of the things that happened that drove this, and it kind of connects. I invited some people over for dinner, and I had come up with this magic trick, and I wanted to show them, and so I took the, but we have to go in my bedroom. I'll show you there. And so we go into the bedroom, and they're looking at me, and I raise my hands, and I start floating up to the ceiling. And of course, they're all impressed, and I want to show them how to do this, and everything is working out. God, this is so great. I've learned how to do this. And then I woke up, and I was so upset. I was so upset that I got out of bed, and I stood on the side of my bed, and I said, that was so real. Maybe I just need to be fearless. And what happened was is that I started floating up to the ceiling, and I said, oh, my God, this is really real. I'll better pinch myself, though it might be a dream. And I pinched myself, and it's real. And then I woke up. It was a dream within a dream, and everything was just incredibly real. Well, that scenario is something that comes out in the book as well. And what I'm talking about really is stuff that happens to people that leads to magical lives. And I think this must happen to a lot of people, where something really bad happens to them at an early age. And as a result of the struggle to deal with that, they begin changing the way their life unfolds. And that's what's happened with me, and it's what happened with Sally. We're both 10 years old. Sally's 10 years old, and I was 10 years old. I was born at the time of the Second World War, 1938, just when it began. And everything was wonderful up until the age of 10. My father was a musician. I was becoming a musician myself. And then what he ended up doing was dying right in front of me. And, of course, that experience left me with what they now call post-traumatic stress. And as a result, I have this little movie running in my head still to this day of that event. And it's no longer a horror story for me. It's part of the whole magic of the whole thing. What happened was is that as a result of that incident, my life was turned upside down, and so was Sally. Sally's life is turned upside down by her incident. And it's the same thing. She ends up another world with animals, and the animals happen to be her stuffed animals that she sleeps with. Well, I had stuffed animals, and I slept with mine too. Her animals come to life, and they speak. Well, I didn't do that, but I was, my life was transported to Yuma, Arizona from the city. So I went from the city to the farm out in the middle of the desert and totally upside down. But I was again with animals because I had the kangaroo rats and the rattlesnakes and the lizards and coyotes. Everything was, it was really fun. I even slept with field mice. I was living in a trailer. So what I'm trying to get to now is that here my life has been turned upside down. Sally's been turned upside down. And the two of us work this out. And our lives turn out to be spectacular. And that's the allegory, is that I think a lot of people have this experience where something really horrible happens to them. And as a result of that event, that horrible experience ends up being in some strange way like the best thing that ever happened to them. I'm not saying that my life wouldn't have been just great with my father alive, but as a result of it, I certainly changed. I became a totally different person, a fearless person, for example. I became an addicted person. I have an addicted compulsive personality, which could be dangerous. It actually was, because I became a drunk for a while, and I taught school. I was a teacher, professor, and I taught molecular genetics and biochemistry, and I found out that I could really give good lectures if I poured lab alcohol into my coffee in the morning. And so I'd arrive at my class, you know, semi-drunk. But I gave really good lectures. Anyway, what happened after that is, well, I've got this addiction. I need to get rid of it. And so I did. And as a consequence of that, I've had to redirect my obsessive compulsive personality into more favorable directions. And so at the age of 82, guess what I do? I can't read anymore because my eyes are bad. I just listen. I listen to books. And that's, and while I'm listening, I'm running. And I have this rule. I don't get to listen to my book. I don't get to listen to hear what happens next unless I'm listening. And so it's very motivating. And the other thing is that I always get the hard copy of my book. And so I have the two of them. And I like, and now I can see the pictures and I can do some of the reading. If I force myself to get a magnifying glass, I can go ahead and read part of it. But the having that those two things together has just been wonderful. Because a good narrators just completely turn everything around. Yeah,
absolutely. I love this story. We have a minute left. Tell us, and you've really told us this, but I guess just nailing it home, why should people read the book and what will it do for them? I think it's transformational.
Yeah, I think it was for me. It's so transformational that I on my morning runs, which I go 6 to 8 miles, I often will just go and re-listen to my book. It's transformational. I think what it does is it shows a way for a person to transform their life from something tragic into something amazing. And my life has been amazing. Everything that I have this way of visioning things, and those things that I envision show up. I've got that going for me as well.
Boy, no kidding. It's a perfect place to end this. That's what everybody is looking for. So, Frank, thanks so much for coming on. You can get Sally and the Magic River on Amazon. We appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you. This has been very different.
Thanks. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right. You too. Bye.
Sponsored by the Salvation Army. During the holiday season, millions rely on the Salvation Army for help and hope amidst the pandemic, and the need is at an all-time high. However, the Salvation Army could see as much as a 50% decrease in funds raised by the iconic Red Kettles this year due to COVID-19, putting at risk their ability to provide shelter for the homeless, meals for the hungry, Christmas toys for children, and social service programs to our neighbors in need. All donations stay within the community in which they are given. Commissioner Kenneth Hodder, National Commander, the Salvation Army.
This year, we've seen what can only be described as a tsunami of need. In the history of our organization, we've never served this many for this long. It will take all of us coming together in order to help millions of others in need this holiday season.
For more information, please visit rescuechristmas.org.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Joins us this time around on Author's Corner. She's written a book called Rodeo Queen 101. And thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, it's my privilege. Thank you.
So you and I talked off the air, and I'm fascinated by the rodeo, and your life is all about the rodeo. Explain. I got so hooked into this, for everyone listening, when I lived in Las Vegas, and the biggest rodeo in the country was there, and boy, oh boy, the competitions, it just blew me away, the things that I didn't know. I was sort of ignorant to rodeo, how really cool it is, and how incredibly athletic, really, so many of the riders are in the various things that they do. So how did you get involved in rodeo? How did you grow up in the rodeo, so to speak?
Well, I grew up in a small town that was mostly farmers and ranchers, and the rodeo was the social event. Festivities went on for a week, and I always went to the rodeo. I was involved with the rodeo parade. I helped my girlfriend get ready with her saddle and her silver and just enjoyed it. And then later on, I met my husband, who is a retired bronc rider, saddle bronc rider, and through him, I've learned a tremendous amount about rodeo. And because of that, we became involved with the Turquoise Circuit, which is part of the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association. And we were active in that. And because of my activity, I was asked to be a member of the state board for Miss Rodeo Arizona. And that's how I was introduced to Rodeo Queens.
For you, what is your favorite part about the rodeo? If you actually sit down and you watch different elements of the rodeo, because I know you're involved in the business side, what do you like the best?
Oh, I love Saddlebronk. I fell in love with it when I was four. But I love T-Bone Green. I have a grandson who's a hitter. And the whole thing is enjoyable. The people are absolutely wonderful.
They're salt of the earth. That's, I agree. That's what I saw when I got to be behind the scenes as well and talk to so many of the people. So your book, Rodeo Queen 101, tell us about that.
All right. I had no intention of writing it, but one day I was at a rodeo and a queen mother came to me and she said, you need to write a book about how to become a rodeo queen. And I told her, oh, I don't think I can. She said, oh, yes, you can. So after a long conversation, I agreed to it. And I used my experience. And fortunately, I know people who are experts in their fields. And so they contributed a lot to the book, explaining about horsemanship, care of the horse, modeling, interviews, private interviews, how to ask for money. You definitely have to go out and get sponsors, and that is extremely difficult for most of them. And I have judges who wrote their opinion on what they found the most important when they judge, and I have queen directors on how they run their programs, and I have comments from Miss Rodeo America, and a very long statement, which is wonderful, from Miss Rodeo USA.
So you wanted it to be a book that could really show somebody, here's all the things you need to do if you're doing a rodeo, here's things to look for, and all the various aspects. And like you said, selling is one of the hardest things. Sponsorship is tough to get, isn't it?
It's very, very tough. When I was on the board, that was my job.
Uh-oh.
And so I learned firsthand how difficult it is. But
yeah.
You have to be professional. You can't go in your torn jeans, et cetera. You have to look very professional when you go in. Know what you're going to say. Appreciate the time that they're giving you. Make an appointment first before you come in. Have a book with you that has all of your accomplishments so they can see that you're a hard worker, whether or not you're a valedictorian or active in Gymkhana, or you run barrels at rodeo, you raise the best sheep. It's just all the events that you're involved in, and let them know that you're a hard worker and you're willing to put their name on their trailer, their horse trailer, and on their truck, and they will be written on the back of their signature sheets that have their pictures when they sign, when people come up for our autographs. On the back will be a list of all their sponsors and where they are. You don't have to be just in your town. They can be in your state somewhere. Anyone who's willing to support rodeo.
Yeah, and really it's a book that anyone can read, because I thought about this for people starting businesses even. I think you could just replace some of the rodeo aspects of it, and you could look at it as this is a great book on how to run a business like a rodeo that's well-tuned, right?
Oh, well, thank you. I probably so. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, because what you said about sponsorships and how you show up and how you show proof of here are the things that I've done and being professional and all that sort of thing. So for people who are listening who haven't been to a rodeo, I think they should put it on their list of this is something that I need to do.
Oh, what's absolutely.
What's so magical about it?
I think you're connected to the past. This is so much part of our Western heritage. It started with ranch employees competing against each other when they're training horses, breaking them, from stopping them from bucking all the time, and who can ride the best. And it just turned into what rodeo is today. And the people, the patriotism, the beautiful openings, the respect for our military and our flag, and it's very much a family sport.
Yeah, I think it's a family sport, too. And there are rodeos all over this country. There's rodeos that are smaller and bigger. And where there are lots of sports and there are lots of, as you say, the fabric of connecting us to the past, there are a lot of things that are slipping away. I think the rodeo people are strong in trying to keep this tradition alive. And do you feel like there's younger people interested in the rodeo?
Oh, yes. Yes. It's very fun to go and see these young people talk to the experienced ropers and barrel racers for points and how do I get involved, when can I join the PRCA or WPRA, which is the Women's Professional Rodeo Association. They're eager to teach. They help one another. The camaraderie is unusual, too, because they'll ask you, I've drawn this horse. How does he buck? And they'll say, well, when he opens the chute, he takes a run, and then he starts bucking to the left. So you can anticipate how the horse is going to buck, so you can stay on for your 8 seconds.
There you go. 8 seconds. Yeah. I got to tell you, my favorite, 8 seconds is like, are you kidding? It's crazy. You know, the mechanical bulls, I'm on there for like, 2 seconds and I fly off. And it doesn't look very good. It's so ugly the way it looks, but it's so fun to do. I've done it in the stockyards in Fort Worth. And I was thinking, amazing. And that's a big rodeo area. And I was thinking about cowboys that I've met that I had a chance to interview. And I interviewed Ty Murray once. Have you ever met him? What a great guy.
Yes, I have, through a friend I was introduced to him. A very nice man.
Yeah, and he's done a lot for rodeo because he's popular and he's well-known outside of rodeo, and I think that even draws more people in as to what the heck is rodeo.
That's it, exactly. It's a nice exposure to the sport.
Yeah. So you got to be honest with me. In your heyday, if you got on a mechanical bull, you would probably just crush me. Could you? You would be on more than 8 seconds, right?
Oh, dear. No.
It's so fun. Rodeo is very, very fun. And I'm glad that you put this book together, Rodeo Queen 101. Why the title Rodeo Queen 101?
Because I had a lot of 101 classes in college. A beginning, learning how.
I like it, because that's exactly what I thought. I was like, wow, this is 101. It's the primer. It's getting you in the door and getting you accustomed to some of the things that you have to do if you're involved in the rodeo. But like I said, I think any entrepreneur out there would really draw something else from this, too, of what they could do and look at what successfully has happened. Anne, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Can I tell you where to buy it?
Sure.
Okay, you can buy it on Amazon and Page Turner Press and Media. And also, I'm privileged to announce that I'm going to be in the New York Times magazine, and they're making a movie of it. So it's going to be an exciting year next year.
You buried the lead. You're making a movie of the book. Oh, my gosh. It's so wow. Have they cast the movie yet? No, not at this point.
Not yet. They haven't sent me anything about this, just that they're going to do it, and I have full approval on everything. So it's going to be an interesting experience.
Wow. All right, so you have to promise me I can sneak in and be at the set with you for maybe a few minutes or so.
I'll try.
All right, that's good. I love it. And it would make a good movie. Anne Reason, thank you so much. Rodeo Queen 101, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1 pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.